VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. And folks, a lot of vital information to come your way. It's information you will not get from a majority of broadcast media, certainly not from the major media in the country. But we would encourage you to encourage others to tune in right now to the this Crosstalk station in order to gain the information that you're going to be learning today. You see, recently, the United Nations Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, he called for a multilateral level of governance with teeth to function as an instrument of global governance where it is needed. He said of the interdependent world of today, national interests are not easily separated from the global good. He indicated the coronavirus pandemic has laid bare severe and systemic inequalities around the world. He spoke of the climate crisis, the threat of nuclear war, lawlessness in cyberspace, and on and on. And ladies and gentlemen, according to our guest today, deep state globalists are stepping in to offer their proposed solution to the very crises that they themselves unleashed. It's called a Great Reset. Its purpose is to transform the world and everything in it. Join us today as we welcome back to Crosstalk Alex Newman. Alex is an international freelance journalist. He's an author. He's an educator. He's a consultant. Many of his articles appear in The New American, and he is co-author of the book Crimes of the Educators. Alex, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Alex, the Great Reset, it's not terminology that you've come up with. This is actually the World Economic Forum. So before we define what this Great Reset is, let's first understand who is the World Economic Forum. What is that?
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me, Jim. So the World Economic Forum, it's really a group of elite kind of globalists from business and media and government, and it's one of the more open globalist groups. A lot of these globalist organizations, like the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderberg and Trilateral Commission, they kind of hide in the shadows. You don't read about them much. You don't hear about them much. But the World Economic Forum is really out in the open. They meet once a year at Davos. They bring in, presidents and dictators, and they have fancy speeches, and they all fly in with their private jets. They act like they're trying to come up with solutions to help humanity. And on a superficial level, that's what they purport to do. Oh, we're just trying to help you guys. We just want to make the world a better place for you. But when you look at who's involved, when you look at their agenda, when you look at what they're doing, and when you look at the connections of the leadership, you see that really this is an important organ of power in the world. It's ostensibly at least kind of represents the business community and connects them with the governing community. But it's, in my view, a very dangerous organization. It's led by Klaus Schwab, who's, of course, a regular attendee at Bilderberg, very intimately involved with these deep state organizations, has people like Al Gore on the board, which I think gives you some sense of where they're coming from, right? The guy who wants to shackle humanity to a global warming regime under the guise of saving us from the gas that we exhale, the guy who's made, countless false prophecies about, oh, there's not going to be any ice up in the North Pole anymore in the summer by 2013. Of course, that came and went, and it was 50% greater than it was when he made the prediction. So, at best, Al Gore is a false prophet. And that's the type of people who congregate around this apparatus.
Oh, what if any, is there a relationship between this World Economic Forum and the United Nations?
Well, they're very, very closely linked, and anytime the World Economic Forum is meeting, they always have high-level UN people. In fact, a lot of the people pushing the Great Reset agenda openly are the upper levels of the UN bureaucracy, including Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General, who was one of the three major voices who announced the Great Reset to the world. And just last year, they actually formed what they call a strategic partnership framework, where the World Economic Forum promised to basically bring the private sector on board with the United Nations Agenda 2030, which you and I have spoken about. We did a whole episode about that, I think, last year maybe. But, they're working very, very closely together. It's not secret. It's out in the open. They put out press releases announcing that they're working together. And the UN is, of course, going to be instrumental in pushing this Great Reset as well.
Okay, so World Economic Forum, they are really all about social justice. Is that correct?
Well, that's what they say. And, I know for some people who maybe watch too much television, social justice still has these warm and fuzzy connotations about we're going to make everyone equal and we're going to, stop racism and this kind of stuff. And, when you think of it in those terms, well, how could you be opposed to that? But, yes, the World Economic Forum is openly promoting social justice. And it's interesting because, I mean, this is really, if there was a single organization that best represented the billionaire class, if you want to divide people up into classes, the World Economic Forum is it. And the idea that, there's just these benevolent overlords who just want to make life better for us peons, frankly, I think is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. And as the Bible tells us, you want to judge things by their fruit, and we know the fruit of what these people at the World Economic Forum are pushing. It's not justice. It's not social justice. In fact, it really is injustice, if you had to put a word on it.
Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. And Alex, as we've talked about this group now, World Economic Forum, is the one that is pushing this Great Reset. Let's understand what this Great Reset exactly is. Tell us about it.
So they're couching it in all these nebulous terms, but what they're talking about, if you read what they say, if you watch the videos where they unveiled this, if you look at the press releases, is a total restructuring of everything. And that is such a big idea, such a big concept that it's kind of hard to digest and it's kind of hard to boil down into a talking point. But they want to, to start off with, they want to completely restructure the global economy, right? We still have, at least to some extent, some remaining elements of the free market. We have companies, which of course are made up of individuals, that includes the owners, right, the shareholders of those companies, includes the managers of those companies who ultimately work for the shareholders, and then the employees who are supposed to be producing value, and they're pursuing profit, right? And that kind of gets dirty looks these days because of the indoctrination. But there's nothing wrong with pursuing profit. All that means is that they're doing things that people want done. If there's an opportunity for profit, that means that it's just a signal. It's people saying, hey, we want somebody to produce this at a better price or in a different variety. And so that's a signal that encourages companies and entrepreneurs to step in and start solving that need or solving that want. And that's how companies make money, by basically satisfying the needs and wants of consumers. But what the World Economic Forum, and they're talking about this very openly, and it sounds kind of nice if you don't read through the line, but they say, it's not enough anymore for companies just to pursue profit. It's not enough for them just to pursue, bigger margins. It's not enough for them to just work for their shareholders and try to make money for their shareholders. Now we need to have companies doing, they're calling it environmental, social, and good governance or governance responsibilities. And what this means is instead of trying to satisfy the needs and wants of consumers, they say there's a desire among consumers for tomatoes. A company says, hey, we can make money by producing tomatoes. Quick, let's do that. And then people are happy because they can buy tomatoes. Now the companies are supposed to take into account, are we giving enough money to Black Lives Matter? Are we dealing with our so-called carbon footprint? Are we, paying money to Greenpeace to compensate for, the agricultural land that we're using to grow those tomatoes? Are we, promoting good governance? And so instead of pursuing the goals that traditionally companies and economic actors have pursued in a free market, they're now going to be pursuing these new goals, these new metrics that are being established right now by technocrats. And this is not a new agenda. This idea has been around for a long time. It's been pushed by billionaires like the Rockefellers and George Soros. But now they think they have an opportunity to make that happen using the coronavirus crisis and the riots and the unrest that we're seeing all over the world, plus the economic collapse that they fomented through these lockdowns as kind of the catalyst to make it all happen.
Yeah, and they, as you mentioned, they're talking about transforming every nation in the world, folks. That includes United States. Matter of fact, the way we know life today is not conducive for this Great Reset. And they're actually using COVID-19 as a catalyst to do so. How are they doing that? How is COVID-19 tying in with this?
Well, basically they've burned down our economy to the ground. And frankly, part of it, I think, is a cover story. You know, the economy was already in very dire straits, not just in the United States, but around the world, long before coronavirus ever struck. And a lot of people don't recognize that. They think, no, it was the Trump economy and it was doing great. No, you know, yes, good things happened as a result of the deregulation pursued by Donald Trump, but the fundamental systemic issues underlying the economic problems were an absolute disaster. I mean, you have the Federal Reserve System that is creating now trillions and trillions of dollars. The U.S. government is something like $25 trillion in debt with $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And this is a monster that just had to keep going and going and going. I mean, if they stopped exponentially increasing debt levels, the whole economy would be sucked into a black hole. So that's not sustainable. That's not the mark of a good economy. They've been manipulating interest rates. They've had interest rates down close to zero since the last economic crisis, and that's simply not based in reality. This is just the Federal Reserve manipulating interest rates by creating a whole bunch of new currency. So that's not sustainable. That was going to have to come to an end at some point. Then you add the coronavirus lockdowns to that. You have something like 50 million Americans, you know, just to look at the U.S. economy, even though this is a global push for this great reset, 50 million Americans lost their jobs in a period of about 3 months. We're now seeing a wave of thousands, which will probably turn into a wave of hundreds of thousands of bankruptcies. Mom and pop shop, basically the backbone of the American economy, the American middle class, the independent small business owner, the independent doctor or skilled professional, all of these people are being absolutely crushed now. But they have quite literally burned our economy to the ground. I mean, the economic cataclysm that's headed our way right now is going to hit us like a tsunami, and nobody wants to hear that. But what they're saying is, yeah, there's this huge economic problem going on, but hey, once everything is burned to the ground, we can rebuild. And we're not going to rebuild on the same foundation. They said we're going to rebuild on a whole new foundation for a new type of economy that won't be based on market principles, that won't be based at least loosely on, you know, the biblical principles that God has revealed to us about private property, and if you don't work, you don't eat, and, you know, the things that God tells us clearly in His Word. They want to rebuild it. Really, I think if you want to see kind of a model of what the economy they want to see looks like, I think communist China is a very good place to look. That's what they want to rebuild on. And, of course, this goes way beyond the economy, too, Jim. They're talking about transforming education and agriculture and the family and social policy and government welfare systems, right? They want to create this global welfare state where basically everybody's going to start collecting universal basic income. We're all going to become dependent on the state. So they're talking about a total restructuring of everything in preparation for this global governing system that they're trying to build.
Now, we see President Trump increasingly taking a stand against communist China, yet communist China really has an important role in all of this reset, doesn't it?
Oh, they absolutely do. And, you know, this has been clear for a long time to people who've been paying attention. Now, the establishment is very, very dishonestly trying to blame President Trump for the rise of communist China, for communist China's takeover of the machinery of global governance, the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank. This is incredibly dishonest. We had a cover story in The New American, I think it was in 2014, before Trump was even running for office, exposing this very problem. And it actually goes back much further. In fact, if you study history, what you'll see is that subversive operatives, I call them deep staters or insiders, within our own government, within our own institutions, actually sold out the Chinese to communism. And then at every step of the way, they helped build it up. So we can pick it up on the other side.
Indeed, yes. We're going to pick up the China angle on all of this after the break. Folks, Alex Newman is with us today. We're discussing the Great Reset to usher in the New World Order. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are spiders ever found in the fossil record?
Yes, unbelievably, Chris, they are. Not only spiders, but sometimes spider webs are found. A spider and its web was found in amber, which was dated by evolutionists at 190 million years old. Now, I don't buy the date. I think the amber was formed at the time of Noah's flood. But think how silly this makes the millions of years idea look. Spider silk is so fragile, it dehydrates and deteriorates quite quickly. Does anybody really think it's going to last for 190 million years? Chris, a better idea is out there. It's the Back to Genesis idea of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Alex Newman. He has just put together an impactful article on this issue. We'll tell you how you can obtain it. We're discussing the Great Reset to usher in the New World Order. And Alex, we were talking about China here leading into the break, and I find it interesting because there was another New American article that was written not long ago talking about FBI Director Christopher Wray, who described China's ruling Communist Party as being involved in a whole of state effort to overturn America's global dominance and become the world's top superpower by any means necessary. This Great Reset would certainly help them do that.
It absolutely would. And in fact, I think if and when these globalists and insiders get their way on the Great Reset, we will see a United States that is significantly diminished in terms of power, in terms of prestige, in terms of economic might, potentially worse. I mean, it may be, a cataclysmic decline if the U.S. dollar were to suddenly lose its status as the global reserve currency and we were to move toward a global currency, as the Chinese are advocating, run by the International Monetary Fund, in particular the special drawing rights, which I think is going to be a crucial part of this Great Reset. But I know the Chinese are instrumental in this whole thing. They've been instrumental for many, many years now. We left off before the break talking about how subversives within our own government played such a crucial role in delivering China to the communists. And this was a deliberate effort. They stabbed our close ally Chiang Kai-shek in the back. They actually put an arms embargo on him to ensure that Mao and his butchers, the New York Times was saying, oh, they're just agricultural reformers. They just want the more equal land distribution. And, of course, they were mass murdering communist butchers who ended up slaughtering more people than any government in all of human history, which is really quite a feat. I mean, we're talking probably 80 to 100 million people murdered outright, either through starvation or actual execution, and then maybe 300 to 400 million unborn babies who've been slaughtered as part of the one-child policy, population control efforts. And if you look at what's been happening, I mean, at every step of the way, Western globalists have been building them up. So David Rockefeller went over there in the early 1970s, and he came back, he wrote a column, an op-ed in the New York Times, and it's still on their website today. It's called From a China Traveler, and he says, whatever the failings of the revolution in China, it has massively succeeded. It's produced a unity in purpose and efficient administration. Then he says that the social experiment under Chairman Mao was one of the most important and successful in all of human history. No mention of the 50 to 60 million people who had been slaughtered up to that point. Even just a few years ago, George Soros was openly saying, and you can find him on video on YouTube, saying that Communist China should own the New World Order and that they have a better functioning government than the United States.
One more things
real quick here, Jim. And now the World Economic Forum and China are very, very close together now. In 2017, the Communist Chinese dictator Xi Jinping was their keynote speaker at their event in Davos. And globalists from all over the world, basically just bowing down, prostrating themselves before this guy. And he's the new defender of the liberal world order. And of the handful of people who were actually there at the unveiling of this Great Reset, one of them was a member of the Communist Chinese Party, Ma Jun, who is the chairman of China's Great Green Finance Committee and also on the Monetary Policy Committee of the Communist Chinese Central Bank.
This
is going to be great.
What is this Green Finance Committee?
So this is, I guess first we have to start with the green economy. Now, what do they mean when they talk about a green economy? I think the best way to understand it is that old joke, the watermelons, right? They're green on the outside, but they're red on the inside. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. It applies perfectly to this Ma Jun character. And the same is true in the United States. When they're talking about a green economy, on the surface, they're saying it's going to be an environmentally friendly economy. But it's based on false premises. It's based on the idea that the gas that we exhale, carbon dioxide, that God designed us to exhale, God also designed plants, by the way, to utilize that gas as part of photosynthesis. And just for some perspective, human emissions of CO2 make up literally a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. So even if you accept the greenhouse theory, which there's some very, very significant problems with that theory that have been published in the scientific literature, even if you accept the theory, human emissions of CO2 make up a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases that are naturally in the atmosphere. 95% of those greenhouse gases are water, and humans have no control over that. So the idea that human emissions of CO2 are driving some catastrophic climate change, frankly, it's just ludicrous. But this green economy idea is based on the premise that our economic activities that involve the release of CO2, which is essentially everything, right? Eating, sleeping, breathing, turning on a light switch, producing electricity, powering our cars, powering our trucks, powering our tractors, all of it emits CO2, that this is somehow bad for the global environment. And so from that premise, the green economy is an effort to get rid of CO2 emissions to the largest extent possible. And the globalists will tell you, there's several ways we could do this. We could either make you all stop emitting CO2, which at this point basically means going back to the Stone Ages, right? I mean, no fossil fuels, no oil, no coal, no natural gas, nothing. Or we could eliminate a lot of people. And actually, that's how Bill Gates put it in almost those exact terms during a speech he gave at a TED Talk. So when they talk about the green economy, they're talking about a centrally planned economy with the ostensible goal of making economic activities more environmentally friendly. What it really means is getting rid of the market system, which is, of course, the biblical system, and moving toward a centrally planned, controlled system away from private property, away from private ownership of the means of production, and toward collective or government control of the means of production, which is what they did in Cuba, which is what they did in North Korea, which is what they did in the Soviet Union, which is what they did in communist Vietnam. We've seen how that works. It always and everywhere ends in disaster. But this is true even in the United States, Jim, and I know I'm talking a lot here. It's just there's so much to say on these things. But just for some perspective, when Obama was president, he made a big deal out of this green economy thing, and he actually created a new post, the Green Jobs Czar.
That's right.
And he hired a man called Van Jones to be the Green Jobs Czar. Well, if you've been watching CNN lately, which I don't recommend, you might have seen Van Jones say that all white people have a virus inside their brains that makes them all evil and racist, and a white liberal Hillary Clinton supporter is more dangerous than a member of the KKK. Obviously a very rational man here, not racist at all. But he had to leave his post as the Green Jobs Czar once old newspaper interviews came out where he was bragging about being a communist, a Maoist revolutionary intent on overthrowing the system. And so that gives you some idea of where these green economy and green jobs people are coming from. It's just a new slogan to conceal its totalitarian.
Yeah, so let's enter into the scene Al Gore as well. But here's a quote. So I think this is a time for a great reset. We've got to fix a lot of these problems that have been allowed to fester for way too long. And the climate crisis is an opportunity to create tens of millions of new jobs, clean up the air, and reduce the death rate from pandemics. By the way, because the air pollution from burning fossil fuels heightens the death rates from coronavirus. So this is a time for a reset to fix a bunch of challenges, first among them, the climate crisis.
Yeah, and this climate crisis, we need a whole episode, maybe two episodes, to talk about the climate issue, but it is an issue that I've studied in a lot of depth. In fact, I've been going to these UN climate summits throughout my entire career as a journalist, starting when I graduated from university. The very next year, I was in Copenhagen for the great UN climate summit there that Obama attended and Nancy Pelosi. First, we need to understand that it's based on pseudoscience. Second of all, Biden is pushing this idea as well, that now they figured out that, well, people aren't willing to sacrifice their standard of living to fight this nebulous idea of climate change, this boogeyman. And so let's reframe it. Now let's say we're going to create a lot of jobs by fighting climate change. Well, first of all, that's patently ridiculous. What they will be doing is wasting an unfathomable amount of wealth. I mean, yes, theoretically, the government could create 10 million jobs tomorrow, hiring people to smash big rocks into little rocks and then throw the little rocks into the bottom of the ocean. Now, would that be a useful use of our labor? Would that be adding value? Would that be adding wealth to our society? Would that improve our standard of living? Of course it wouldn't, right? We would all be poorer because of wasting all that labor. Yes, we'd have 10 million new jobs, but it would be 10 million new jobs doing absolutely nothing of value. And so that's what they're talking about with this climate crisis. But it's so much broader than that. It's not about jobs. It's not about wasting labor. It is about hijacking and taking complete control over every element of human activity. Now, just let this sink in for a moment. they are telling you, Al Gore and the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, that the gas you exhale is pollution. And that sounds so ludicrous to sensible people that they can't even fathom that that's the truth. But listen to what they're saying. They're telling you that carbon dioxide is driving global warming. And you exhale carbon dioxide. So if you were a totalitarian and you wanted to get control over every single human activity, the best single thing you could demonize would be carbon dioxide, because there's not one thing you can do, including eating, including dying, including sleeping, including sitting on your couch, that doesn't emit CO2. And so if you're polluting the environment just by existing, just by waking up in the morning, there's no area of your life, there's no area of your business that is not subject to the control of these totalitarians under the guise of saving us from alleged man-made global warming.
Wow. Alex, there is so much to unpack here, and I'm going to bring out a new term in this that I need to have you expound, because I believe this is also a key element our listeners need to know about, because they speak of what's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. What is that?
Yeah, and this is where it starts to get really creepy, you know. For Christians, you know, we have hope in the Lord, and that makes all of this possible to process. But, you know, for non-Christians, I really don't know how you digest this kind of stuff. But when they talk about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, they've actually told us what they're talking about. They've actually defined their terms for us. And the way the World Economic Forum defined it, the way Klaus Schwab, the founder and the leader of the World Economic Forum, defined it, is the blurring of the lines between the digital, the physical, and the biological. And so what they're talking about here, and they're doing it openly now, right? This used to go on in kind of shadowy conferences that really normal people didn't know about, couldn't hear about, the media wouldn't talk about them. But now it's out in the open. They're talking about merging the human being with the machine, with the Internet. And this is already now happening to a large extent. I mean, at a lot of these globalist conferences, they have self-described cyborgs showing up, right? At the World Government Forum in 2017, where they met under this arch of Baal, true story, they had one of their main speakers was an actual self-described cyborg. He had connected this antenna to his head, and somehow it was connected into his brain, and he said it gave him abilities to see things that he couldn't see before. And this is where they're moving. In fact, one of the nine speakers that they chose to unveil this Great Reset program, actually, one of the speakers is a lady from Uruguay. She's involved in a company called, I believe it's Chip Safer. Let me verify that so I don't give out the wrong name here. But yes, Chip Safer is the name. Her name is Victoria Alonso Perez from Uruguay. And what her company does is it actually produces these implantable technological devices into cows to start with, that does all sorts of things. First of all, it tracks location data. So, you know, this will send data to the Internet and through satellites, and the farmer will be able to know where all his cattle are. And, you know, for cattle, okay, maybe that's a nice development. I don't know. It also tracks biophysiological data. So, you know, what's the cow's health like? What is their heartbeat like? Are they breathing properly? And on and on. Well, the next step, and they're being very open about this, again, we've had world leaders just in the last few months say we need to start microchipping children to protect us from coronavirus, and that's a true story. They want to eventually start implanting these in human beings. We've already started implanting human beings with microchips for various purposes, right? Some companies are doing it. If you want to access the building, you got to swipe your hand after it's got a microchip in it. We talked not too long ago, Jim, about a patent that Microsoft had filed for it, the World Intellectual Property Organization. I actually linked to it in this article so people can verify it, because it sounds like science fiction. It's WO2020060606, and it's a piece of technology that keeps track of your cryptocurrency implanted under your skin, and that's where this is going.
Oh, my. Alex Newman is with us here today, folks. Yes, ushering in a new world order, new economic system, new global governance. Back with more information after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's called the Great Reset. That's not our words. That is the World Economic Forum. That is what they are planning on, a Great Reset for the economies, for the governments around the world. And we're talking every nation, including the United States of America. Alex Newman is with us. He's written about this in a brand new, fresh article. Alex, tell us the name of the article and how our listeners can obtain it.
Thank you so much, Jim. So the article is headlined, "The UN-backed Great Reset," with Great Reset in quotes, "to usher in new world order." And if you go over to thenewamerican.com, you can find it there. It should be appearing in the print magazine as well. So for those who subscribe to the print magazine, you get two issues per month. You'll be seeing something about this, probably more in-depth, in the print magazine very soon.
Again, the website is thenewamerican.com. Folks, you'll find it right there, this Great Reset to usher in the new world order. Alex Newman is the author of this article, and you'll find links to many other things. And Alex, as we're talking here during the break as well, the World Economic Forum that is calling for this Great Reset, this is not something where they are staying quiet about this. This is not secret reporters going in and pull out this information. This is not behind locked doors and, down dark hallways. They are right out and open, and they're even putting this out on their website.
That's exactly right, Jim. And, that's the incredible thing about this, because we've been talking about this. I mean, the New American's been talking about this since the 1980s when it was created as a merger of two other publications. But, at the time, people say, oh, that's kooky. That's never going to happen. You guys are conspiracy theorists. Yep. Well, now you can go to the World Economic Forum's website. You can go to the UN's website. You can read about this. You can watch a video of the conference where they unveiled this. It's posted right up on YouTube for all to see. You can watch Klaus Schwab. You can watch His Royal Highness Prince Philip, who, of course, famously said that he wanted to be reincarnated as a virus so he could help reduce the population of the planet. That's a true story. You also had the head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, was one of the key, one of the four key individuals who unveiled this to the world. He, of course, used to lead the Socialist International before taking over the UN, which is the world's premier alliance of socialist, communist, Marxist political parties, including many with the blood of millions of innocent people, primarily Christians, on their hands. And then we had the head of the IMF, also a former communist from Bulgaria, Kristalina Georgieva, talking about the role that the IMF would be playing here in the days ahead. Then you had, of course, the CEO of MasterCard, who's one of the chief promoters and funders of this cashless society idea that we're going to eliminate all cash and move toward digital currency. So it's all out in the open, folks. You don't have to believe one word we're saying. You can go to the World Economic Forum's website and verify it all for yourself.
Yeah, and it's as current as today's newspaper, Alex. I mean, you're talking about this cashless society, and yet even in our own newspaper here locally today, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the pick and save stores, Metro Market, that are encouraging people to use plastic, that they don't want to give change back any longer, that you can kind of like put it on your account that's on your rewards card, or you can round up in order to give it to a charity, but they don't want to be handling. They're talking about a coin shortage due to COVID-19 across this nation, and it's all leading us. By the way, cash is dirty. It's ugly. We can't use it, and that is the catalyst, another one means by which to bring about this cashless society, this new economic order as well.
Exactly, Jim. And, there's actually been concrete moves in that direction by our own Congress, using coronavirus as a pretext.
Yep.
In fact, during the stimulus debate, the original legislation, as introduced in the House of Representatives by Democrats, included two times a provision to unveil what they described in the legislation as a digital dollar. And so you would get your stimulus payment, the $1,200 they sent to people, as a digital dollar rather than as the old-fashioned, check or hard cash money or direct deposit into your bank. So they are very quickly moving in this direction. They're rolling it out in a variety of third world countries first. But we've been covering this at the New American for well over a decade.
Yes,
they have MasterCard is leading the Better Than Cash Alliance. And folks, if you're a Christian, if you've been reading your Bible, you remember that there is a time coming when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark. Now, not being able to buy or sell, that sounds horrifying, and it may well be horrifying, but even more horrifying is what happens if you take the mark. So just read the scriptures, make sure you're making decisions from an informed perspective.
Alex, as we kind of back up here a few minutes here to this fourth industrial revolution, they speak in this about changing the mindsets of individuals. They call this the very most important issue. They talk about needing a values shift. They also talk about a need to access people's thoughts and emotions. It sounds like science fiction here. How do they seek to accomplish this? Tell us more about this.
Yeah, and I think this is Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. He was asked what is the most important issue. He said the most important issue is shifting people's mindsets. So what's coming is basically an effort, a concerted global effort, to fundamentally re-engineer people's values. Now, there are several ways that they hope that will be accomplished. Obviously, the first and probably most important one is the public education system. They are now centralizing globally control over education. We've talked about on this program before, Jim, they've got what they call the World Core Curriculum at the UNESCO, the UN's education agency. You don't have to dig deep to find out what's going on here. The guy who wrote the curriculum, Robert Mueller, the Assistant Secretary General of the UN, he admitted in the foreword to the teacher's manual that it was based on the teachings of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, of course, being the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. And that's their words, right? It's not me saying that. That's them saying that.
Right.
So that's going to be a big part of it, is indoctrinating young people. If you read Agenda 2030, which is a critical part of this Great Reset, one of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals they have, that's what Agenda 2030 is 17 goals. Goal number 4 is education. They say that all the children need to have this globalist education. They all need to be so indoctrinated, and it doesn't use the word indoctrinated, but you know, it's not enough for the children just to passively submit to these ideologies and ideas that they're promoting, feminism and the UN's version of human rights, which is a complete overturning of the American concept, the biblical concept of God-given rights. So education is going to be the key one. But there's a lot of other elements to this, too, right? Part of it is chemical. The amount of new pharmacological products and medicines, so-called, that are being rolled out is enough to make your head spin. There's just so much going on here. And then you add to all that the technological component, right? Everybody now has got a smartphone in their pocket. And the smartphone is now giving you updates and tracking your location and trying to shift your values. And if you want to understand the way that the values are intended to shift, all you have to do, it's a very simple test, and it'll apply this way on every issue, every time, test it out yourself. They want values that are opposed to biblical values. So God says there's male and female. These people tell us that no, male and female is bigotry. It's old-fashioned nonsense. Actually, gender is a spectrum. There are infinite genders. You get to choose your gender. If you're unhappy with your gender, you can take hormones or mutilate your genitals in a so-called sex change surgery. God prescribed the family. He said, father and a mother and children. That is the biblical, the godly understanding of a family. So they're trying to smash that. God's the one who prescribed private property when he said, thou shalt not steal. Very, very simple terminology. If you can't steal, that implies inherently that people have a right to own and acquire property. So they want to do away with private property. The idea, God gave us very simple instructions in Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a blessing. And so what do the globalists want us to believe? That children are bad for the environment and that we're selfish and greedy and horrible if we decide to have children. So anything that the Bible teaches, when they talk about a shift in mindsets, they want to shift society. And, even not all non-Christians reject biblical values per se. In fact, we were very blessed to live in the remnants of a Christian culture where even people who aren't necessarily Bible-believing, born-again Christians still adhere to basic biblical norms. They want to shift all of that away in this mindset-shifting operation that they're talking about. And it is not going to end well if they succeed. I can guarantee it.
It's all part of the Great Reset, ladies and gentlemen. And Alex, I see that Rockefeller Foundation, I mean, we see their name pop up so many times and so many issues, but they're so promotive of this. I see an article they published June 19th entitled Rebuilding Toward the Great Reset, Crisis, COVID-19, and the Sustainable Development Goals. I mean, they link every Agenda 2030, all of this together.
They sure do. And, you know, what's really interesting, Jim, is that they've been planning for something like this for a very long time. In 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a report, a very boring title, The Future of Technology and International Development, and they came up with four scenarios to help advance this vision of theirs for a global order. And one of those scenarios was called Lockstep, and it imagined this virus coming out of China that would spread around the world and put a lot of fear into people. And people should go read this report. I mean, it's like reading the newspaper today, right? We're going to have shutdowns and lockdowns, and wow, the communist Chinese system worked so good to protect people from this horrible virus, but that dumb American system with all those rights and freedoms, that's why people are dying. I mean, they planned this out a long time ago to use and exploit some kind of pandemic, some kind of viral outbreak, for the purpose of advancing the very policies that they are now pushing as part of this Great Reset.
And each of these World Economic Forum meetings is nothing but a stepping stone for the next. And I think it's important that we point out as well that they have what they're calling a twin summit coming up in January 2021 as they are seeking to build the foundation for an economic and social system for what they call a more fair, sustainable, and resilient future.
That's right. And you know, they have their yearly gathering in Davos, and they're actually going to have a long series of virtual meetings leading up to the big crescendo that will take place in Davos. And people ought to be aware of this. You know, mm-hmm. And I know probably a lot of people listening to us right now, Jim, are probably getting a little nervous. You know, this is all a little bit overwhelming, especially if you haven't been exposed to much of this. You know, CNN's probably not going to talk too much about it, except maybe to put a happy face on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to be clear, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. We
Amen.
Should not be reacting to this with fear or stress. In fact, in one sense, this is really good news. This means our Savior's coming back soon.
Amen.
But in the meantime, we're here. We've got a job to do. And so we really ought to be looking at it in that context. It's an incredible time to be alive. It's not a time to be fearful or hiding in our basements. This is a time to get out there and do what God has commanded us to do.
I want to add an amen to this, folks, because, yes, God has not given us that spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, folks, we can have peace in knowing that God is sovereign. He is in control. And even though they meet together for these summits and these meetings and have this great reset, God is never having to have a great reset. God never has to call an emergency session into order. He doesn't have to convene. He doesn't have to hold a Zoom conference with others to say, what do we go from here? Folks, he's in total control. So number one, we can have peace in him. Number two, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for these things that are going on in our world and see the urgency of sharing the gospel in such a time as this. As Alex mentioned, you know, the Lord is coming back. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour that's going to happen. We do know that we need to occupy till he comes. We're here as his ambassadors upon the earth. So not cower in closets, but to go forth, share the gospel, be involved, and to engage for such a time as this. We'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk for our final segment, and you can get on board right now at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We've got enough information to fill the next couple of hours, but want to give you a chance to at least ask a question or make a brief comment. 800-733-9829. Again, the article that's available, written by Alex Newman here from on the United Nations, The Great Reset to Usher in the New World Order. You can go to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. So we're going to take a quick break. Alex Newman is our guest today. We'll come back to some of your calls, find out what's on your mind. Again, if you have a question or a brief comment today, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. By the way, if you'd like to obtain a CD of this program to share with others, you can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. We will have this posted within just a couple hours on our website as well. You can listen for free at crosstalkamerica.com. But if you do want a hard copy, call 800-729-9829. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade mentoring Patricia Kaluers? Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, "Our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism," end quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, Black Liberation Movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
Our phone lines are packed right now, ladies and gentlemen, but one of the things you can do is take the information you have learned today to share with others. How can you do that? Go to thenewamerican.com, download the article, read it for yourself, share it with others, thenewamerican.com. You can, within a couple hours, this link will be up on our website. You can share that with others at crosstalkamerica.com. Again, if you'd like a hard copy, a CD, we make them available for donation of $6. You can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Our lines are packed. Let's go right to them. Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you are on the air.
Yeah, it seems like our Congress is always at recess while the New World Order is pushing for a reset. My question is this. Who do you think is actually running the UN asylum? Do you think the powers such as Putin, Erdogan of Turkey, Communist China are, for the most part, dictating to Gutierrez how the criterion is going to pan out?
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, on a physical level, you know, there's not even a close second. Communist China runs the place. In fact, I just did a very in-depth investigative piece that appeared in the Epoch Times on that very subject, and the U.S. China Commission just released a report in April that kind of highlighted and went through some of the U.N. agencies that are actually controlled by members of the Communist Chinese Party, some of the boards and the bureaus and the specialized agencies. Communist China absolutely dominates at the UN without even a close second. But, you know, that's in the physical world. I think in the grand scheme of things, God tells us we're actually in a spiritual battle here.
Yes.
Ephesians 6:12 is one I always turn to because it just spells it out so clearly. Yeah. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, and darkness in high places.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with here, and I think it's becoming more and more obvious with every day that passes.
Richmond, Virginia. Adrian, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I really, really appreciate your information today. I was just curious, what do you know about Donald Trump's information and knowledge of the World Economic Forum and his administration? What information do you have about how he stands on this?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very good question, and actually I gave an in-depth speech on Donald Trump and you know, whether he really is an opponent of this New World Order agenda early on in his administration. I think it was in early 2000 and might have been 2017 or 2018, and my assessment remains largely unchanged. I do believe Donald Trump is trying to stop a lot of this. I do believe that you know, when he says he opposes globalism, when he says he wants to put America first, when he holds the Bible, I do believe that he believes those things. I don't believe we're being played. But, you know, he is up against, you know, what he describes as the deep state. I think it's as good a term as any, that is so powerful and so strong that, you know, even the President of the United States has a lot of difficulty dealing with that. And so, you know, some of his advisors, I think, leave a lot to be desired. Some of his members of his cabinet leave a lot to be desired. I think he's getting some bad advice from more than a few sources. But I happen to know also that he is getting good, godly advice from other sources. And so I think there's a tension in the administration. But, you know, frankly, I'm pleased that Donald Trump is our president right now and not somebody who is fully supportive of this evil agenda. But, you know, either way, as Jim said earlier, God is still sovereign, and that is something that we can find comfort in.
Amen. Thank you for the call. Jenny in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hi. This, yeah, she, you answered my question pretty much from the that one. And it always seems like President Trump is always on top of things. Like, people are always complaining, oh, he's not paying attention to the important issues of this and that. But it always seems like he's on top of it. Every time y'all bring up a topic, it seems like he's already on it.
Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate your response. And, yeah, we've seen many actions that he has taken, standing up against the United Nations and standing for a strong nation here for the United States. Appreciate your call. Andrew is calling from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to support you today by saying right before you started the break and the call-in that, you know, God's in control, and that you don't have to have a Zoom meeting to get things in perspective. And, you know, Crosstalk always has programs that really want to drive you to the Word to find out what the Word says. And if we believe that, he's in control, that's going to come by faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God or exploring it yourself. And so I wanted to support you by saying that in conjunction with what you said. And then the program the other day about Christian citizenship with Adrian Rogers, it all ties together.
Yeah.
So if we obey God and do those things, he will show us with the peace that passes understanding that he promised that he is and can work things out and is going to.
Thank you, Andrew. Very, very well said. Sharon is calling from Garden Grove, California. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to piggyback on the verse that you were quoting in reference to, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And as it proceeds, it talks about putting on the armor.
Yeah.
And many believers walk around, myself included, most of the time without clothing, without our armor. As we're told with putting on the armor, it tells us how to fight in the final verse, in verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the way we can fight. And the Lord is going to have his way no matter what, but we can still be in prayer. And I also wanted to say that when we see a storm coming, which is what is happening, a storm is approaching, we typically go to the store, we buy supplies, and we get prepared. We need to be being prepared. And one of the best ways is to start memorizing scripture, memorizing songs, so that if our word should be taken from us, we will have that stored up.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm out of time here for the broadcast. Well spoken as well. It is a spiritual battle. We need to realize that. Alex Newman with us today. You can read the article at thenewamerican.com. Alex, we've got 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners on this issue?
Thank you to the final caller there. That was beautiful and brilliant. And I'll add one more thing also from Ephesians 6, right after Ephesians 6:12, God tells us that our weapon here is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I couldn't agree with you more. We got to be in the Word. Go to thenewamerican.com if you want news about what's really going on. And Jim, thank you once again for having me on the program. It's always such a blessing. Thank you to the listeners. God bless you all.
Well, thank you, Alex, and so appreciate the in-depth research and documentation you give to not only this topic, but so many as well. Folks, you can certainly share this information you've learned with others. This will be posted within just a couple hours. Send the link around from crosstalkamerica.com. God is in control. We can trust him. We need to be aware of what's happening in this world as well. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.